You able to hit that for me, or do I need to go ahead and start it?
No.
Praise God. Well, still praise God, but I'd like to praise God with some more sound. You back?
Need batteries?
No, it's a light screen. It's just this, I think it's just flaky wire. I think y'all can probably hear me, but the, there we go. Maybe this is not up. And praise God. We're going to end up with feedback, I'm afraid. We'll just have to make it. I'll try to be loud.
In Jesus' name it will work. I said in Jesus' name it will work. It'll be great.
Amen. All right. Praise God. I am so excited. Everybody's back. I'm looking forward to a future where we have even more people. God starts to bring things, people in. God starts to turn things around.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for preserving us as we had the challenges, as we had the sickness, but you are greater than the sickness. And we're all here, and we're all together, and we all came through it. And so we thank you for your preservation. We thank you for what you have yet to do. Lord, we pray for those people that are still in the nursing homes that are still not able to get out and to interact with, or even have people come in. Pray for their peace and for their comfort. Thank you, Lord, for what you are continuing to do. We look forward to seeing what's going to happen next. In Jesus' name, open our hearts to hear the word today. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I am going to be a little bit short today. I said that to my wife, and she said, that sermon was too short, said no one ever. So, praise God. Life is full of choices. Mm-hmm. And you made countless choices even to be here today. You decided to get up this morning. You decided what you were going to have to eat. You chose what clothes you were going to put on. You chose maybe how you were going to respond to somebody that irritated you this morning. And you chose to overcome your fears that have been that have plagued us. I mean, we all know now it's not a groundless fear. We've all been sick. But you chose to overcome your fears and to be here today. A lot of times the choices we made really aren't that significant. But then sometimes the significance is not apparent until later. You see the stories even now of people you hear every once in a while as we go back and we think about events like 9/11. Somebody who was late to work that day, or who decided whatever reason they weren't going to go into the downtown area. We don't know sometimes what's going on behind the scenes, or why the decision we've made is significant. We might find out later, or we might never know, and only God knows. But God, we also know, is never surprised. We like our choices. And the more choices we have, the better. Even if Even if we always choose the same thing, one of our favorite restaurants we used to go to. And you never saw a bigger menu. Everything in the world was on there. But 9 times out of 10, come in and get the same thing.
Yeah.
But boy, we like it that we have all those choices.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate choices, including those that should never be made. There are groups calling themselves pro-choice. And the choice they mean is the choice to destroy innocent life. We jealously guard our right to choose, and that even extends, you know, leaving aside the big questions, that even extends into the realm of theology. And we argue about whether or not we have free will or not. And the root of atheism, when you talk to people, what it really comes down to in a lot of cases is that they don't want to concede that anyone greater than them might have the right to choose for them. And yet, at the same time, you have this teaching that grows out of that worldview that says we're all just programmed robots and we don't really make any choices at all. It's all based on our genes. Well, which way are you going to have it? At both extremes, though, you have the same problem, because you have a branch of theology that teaches that everything is predestined, everything is laid out, and you don't really have any choice. God has already chosen who's going to be and who's not going to be. Well, the fact of the matter is, and I've said this before, we have an all-knowing God. So, of course, he knows from the beginning of creation. That does not diminish the fact that you have to make a choice.
Yeah. Right.
Some choices are hard. And we would prefer not to make them. But that too is a choice. Sometimes there's no right or wrong choice, and other times it seems like there's no right choice. We look at doctors and patients who are suffering. Sometimes we don't know even in our own lives, how do I pray for this person? Mm-hmm. Or you have a choice of maybe a life-threatening pregnancy. It doesn't happen very often, especially these days. Mm-hmm. But those things can happen. Our decisions in battle, where somebody's going to die and you have to make a decision what you're going to do. But there are principles that can help us as we make decisions. And the Word of God is absolutely full of that kind of guidance that we need as we go about our lives and as we try to make good decisions. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read again from the Lexham Bible. But it says, to mortals belong the plans of the heart, but from Yahweh comes the answer of the tongue. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. Mm-hmm. Commit your work to Yahweh, and your plans will be established. There are danger signs that we can look for as we try to decide what we're going to do. There are danger signs we can look for to tell us that we're on the wrong path. Of course, the most obvious one is you know it's wrong. If you know it's wrong, your conscience tells you, or maybe others that you trust are telling you, this is not a good idea. And most of all, most important, of course, would be the Bible telling you, this is wrong. Well, that's obviously a reason not to choose it. Another way that we know we're in the wrong place, possibly, is that we're driven by our own lusts. And I'm not talking simply, when I use that word, about the obvious rendering that we all know, but any time that our desire is the primary motivation for what we're doing. Desire for things that are pleasant Desire for pleasure is okay within the bounds. God created pleasure for us. But the problem is when we want that more than we desire righteousness, then it's not okay. Or when we have to, another danger sign is when we have to rationalize what we're doing. When we have to, you know, it says every man's way is pure in his own eyes. In other words, we have worked out in our brain how this is not really wrong, even though we know it is. Or there's a question, so we rationalize how this is going to be okay. And we minimize or explain away the truth that we know. Or we carve out an exception for ourselves. Well, it's okay because. It's okay for me because. And I struggled with this, particularly as a young man, when I was getting the government checks. You know, you're supposed to report everything. And I would get grants for school and stuff. And I was like, well, this is, you know, she told me if it was for school, I could, it was all right. But, you know, the temptation was not to go through the hassle of reporting it and maybe losing something. We get so afraid we're going to lose something. And so I'm like, well, you know, it's all right because I am, if it wasn't for my mom and dad, if they weren't having to pay in taxes, they would give it to me directly. And, you know, you make all these excuses. The thing is, you need to follow the law. You need to do what's right. But there are good guides, too, that we can turn to. And of course, the first and the most obvious one is what does God want? It all comes down to that. What does God want? And how do we know what God wants? Well, we're supposed to have a relationship with Him. We're supposed to be talking to Him. First thing we ought to do is ask. And He asks even when you think you know the answer. Remember the story of Joshua and the Gibeonites. If you remember the story, they came to Him with a subterfuge and said, hey, we live real far away. God said, don't make any covenants with the people that are close to you. They're evil. You need to remove them from the land. But the Gibeonites came and they said, hey, we came from a far country. We heard about you. We want to be friends. So they make a covenant with them. Then they find out they're next door neighbors. And what does it say? Why does it say that they did that? It says, this is stories in Joshua chapter 9. He says he did not ask the Lord. So then you ask the Lord, and then you listen to what He has to say, and then you obey. You know what? Sometimes God's silent on something, and sometimes that's a blessing. I think sometimes God does that out of mercy, because He knows that if He goes ahead and tells us what He wants, we're not going to do it. And then we're in disobedience. And because He actually, I think, sometimes withholds from us that which we ask because He knows that we're not going to do the right thing. And that's still sin. Maybe it's not a wrong thing so much as a thing He would rather us have done. But He withholds that from us because He knows we're going to disobey. And He doesn't want to put us in that situation. I think sometimes God's silence is mercy. And of course, check your Bible. Goes without saying. It covers everything that matters. The principles, if not the specifics. I mean, there's some things that we face in our modern life, but it doesn't say thou shalt or thou shalt not, because nobody knew those things were going to exist. But the principles behind them are still there if you take the trouble to go and look for them. And the other thing that you can know is that if you think you're hearing from God, but it contradicts something that's in the Bible, you didn't hear from God, you heard from somebody else. And we shouldn't contradict the word either. The other place you can get, the other place that will help you is you, as you strive to make good decisions, wise counsel. Now, for some of us, this is harder for motors. You know, there's a reason guys don't like to ask for directions. But sometimes we need wise counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. And of course, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Several places, Proverbs 9 and 1, but there are several places that the Bible says that. Worldly wisdom, on the other hand, things that purport to be wisdom but really aren't wisdom are in fact foolishness. 1 Corinthians 3:19. James, chapter 3, describes it this way: earthly, natural, even demonic. James 3:15. Mm-hmm. The truth is always the truth.
Yes.
But I'll tell you something else. Perverted truth is a dangerous lie. And so we ought to be careful and be wise in our choices of even who we listen to. Now, that's not to say that somebody with a worldly perspective, truth is truth, and even if it comes from a questionable source, it's still true. Mm-hmm. But the thing you have to watch out for is the lie that's mixed in with it. And so always be aware when you are seeking wisdom of what the source is. And be sure that it traces back to the Word, and that you're able to validate it that way. The other thing that will guide us is something that is called we call the peace principle. It comes from the idea that God, the Holy Spirit living inside us, gives us peace. But when we find ourselves not at peace, then the question we need to be asking, why am I not at peace? What is it that's disturbing my peace? Could be any number of things. But Jesus says in John 14:25-27, we know this passage well, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When that peace comes from walking in the Holy Spirit, not from walking in the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, I'm kind of working from Romans 8:6 here. When we're walking in the flesh, we're not going to have that kind of peace. But when we're walking with the Lord, when we're in touch with the Holy Spirit, that's where we find that peace. I find it interesting. I've not done a study of why this is, but a lot of times Paul would as he's writing a blessing to the people that he's greeting, he always blesses them with peace and refers to the God of peace. Peace serves as a guard. That's why that verse that we love to quote from Philippians chapter 4, we quote it all the time. We probably know it by heart, but I'm going to read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you don't have it, find it. Anxiety means, if you're anxious about something, it implies a lack of confidence. Something's not right. And so, we go to the Lord, we go to our source of peace, and find out what's going on. Because it may be, now it might just be an upset stomach, but it may be a spiritual warning that will keep you out of trouble. I tell you, from personal experience, some of the biggest mistakes I have made have been when I did not listen to that lack of peace that was in my heart. And went ahead and did what I wanted to do anyway. My life would be a whole lot different. The only thing I can say about that is thank God for God's mercy. We talked about mercy earlier today. God was merciful to me, and He used even those stupid mistakes I made to put me right where I am. Mm-hmm. Check your heart. That's the third thing that you want to do. Check your heart. Why is it that I want this particular thing? Why am I making this choice over the others that I might have? Is my motivation pure? Because God is looking at our hearts. Mm-hmm. Keep in touch. Let the Holy Spirit guide you when you're listening. You won't always know the impact of your decisions, but be ready to hear Him speak. And know what He has already spoken in His Word. When you have that in your heart, it's a lot harder, I rather need to say, to get misled. But the other thing I would say, and I can tell you this from experience too, don't get paralyzed. Don't become so afraid to make a decision that you don't make a decision at all. That opportunity or good things pass you by because you're afraid. Because you don't want to make the wrong choice. Right. Yes, there is time. There are times that you need to wait, and you need to seek the Lord, and seek Him as long as it's appropriate. But there comes a time, if you haven't heard anything, that you need to act. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, apply the good principles. Apply what He's already taught you, what He's already told you. Trust Him, and you know what? He is big enough to get in your way if you're going the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. If your heart is in the right place, that's the important part. He doesn't have to direct your every... of course, He does in one sense, but what I mean is He doesn't have to be speaking in your ear with every step that you take, but He is big enough to step in at the right time and say, no, go a different way. Or do this. Priscilla was talking about that today, about making those choices moment by moment. What are you going to do? You're going to do what God said, you're going to do something else. Mm-hmm. And of course, the big one is that we decide to follow Jesus. Amen. Because all these words are wasted without the Word in your heart. And ultimately, it'll be the best or the worst decision you ever make, depending on which way you go. But then, beyond that, mm-hmm. I want to say one more thing. Beyond that, because I trust, unless there's some deep, dark secret, I don't know, I trust that at least the folks in here have done this, but never stop making that choice. Because there's the choice that we make when we give our heart to Jesus. But then there are the daily choices that we make to continue to follow Him, continue to do what He said. So yeah, choose Jesus the first time, but then keep on choosing Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us that option. You didn't have to do what you did. You could have said at any time, you could have said, I've had enough. It's done. It's over. I'm going to start over. But you didn't do that because you love us, because you wanted a relationship with us. You wanted, you love your children, and you wanted us to be part of your family, and you made a way, the only way that could be. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we give you worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. Help us as we go forward to make wise decisions in the face of the challenges that we have in front of us, regarding our health, regarding when to be bold and when to step back, regarding how to, during this time where things seem to be going wrong at an increasing rate, to be ready with your message, to tell those who do not know, who are looking at this without any hope, and say, choose Jesus. He is your hope. Help us, Lord, as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I will go ahead and provide the opportunity for folks to have prayer if they would like it. But we'll be brief. And again, thank you all for coming. I'm so excited to be here today. Probably need a new unit, but I wouldn't even know where to start getting one.
I'm in the 2008 Baptist hymn number 415.
We don't have that one.
Room at the cross. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shed.